It's Wednesday, time for our weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. And joining us from our studios in Rapid City is veteran journalist Kevin Wooster, Rapid City reporter for KLO-TV. And Kevin, thanks for stopping by in person.
Carl, great to be here face-to-face. What do you think, face-to-face?
Oh, it's great.
Thank
you. You've got a great face.
I was hoping you'd say that.
And with us on the line is John Hunter, who I assume also has a great face, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. And John, thanks for coming on the program today.
I'm not sure how to respond, Carl, but I'm glad to be here.
Well, this is the land of great faces, great places. Well, the State Public Utilities Commission pushed back next week's evidentiary hearing into the Keystone XL project to either late July or early August. And Kevin, why was that hearing delayed?
Well, as I understand it, it was one of those sort of data document dumps that you do late in a discovery process. And I think it's you on it, you got it. Here comes a whole bunch of stuff for you. And that the opponents said, we can't digest all this in this amount of time, which is probably true. And so it's reasonable, it seems to me, that even though the PUC didn't particularly want to delay this again, I think they, you know, probably had to be fair and to really give people a chance to look at all this stuff.
Was that a strategic move to do a document dump, or was that just the way things go? A lot of documents in a case like this.
Yeah, there are a lot of documents. And I think Bill Taylor, TransCanada's lawyer, said something to the effect of, most of this stuff isn't even relevant, but you guys asked for it, so here it is. I'm sure they didn't hurry to get it in early. You know, they wanted to kind of dump it on them, and that's kind of the way that process is played. And boy, they're going to have to do a lot of work to start sorting through all that to find something that they may find useful.
And John Hunter, does the delay help either side of this project?
I don't think the delay helps either side. No, I think it's just a matter of time, then they'll work these things out. I think it would be possible if they held the hearing, then it would negatively affect the opponents of the project. But no, I think it's going to be in due time. It's not an inevitable project. This is not the last step. There's federal, you know, there's still federal issues. There's all sorts of things. So this is, I think, just another step among many, many steps.
So what, John, is the impact eventually the PUC's decision on whether or not to grant a permit? What does that have on whether the pipeline gets built or not?
Well, you know, there are several states, and Nebraska kind of famously kind of said once they rerouted it that it would be all right there. So I think you kind of go one state at a time through this whole thing. But the federal thing really kind of trumps all things. Although Kevin might point out that, you know, if any link in the chain is broken, then it wouldn't happen. I mean, there are several places to stop this. And I think opponents generally say, let's try to stop it at all points, and hopefully one of them will work. And the proponents generally say, let's get these one at a time, and you keep filing until it gets finally approved.
Kevin?
Sure. I mean, this is a national, really an international network opposing this with a larger green energy climate change component involved. So there's a lot going on, and every step along the way, you're going to try and make it harder and harder. And delay is long. Delay is typically good for people that oppose something.
Could there be another delay in this step?
I guess I'd be a little surprised, but you never know.
Moving on, the state legislature's executive board voted on Monday to approve two summer studies ahead of the 2016 legislative session. One study looks at the function, spending, and financing of county government. The other reviews different aspects of the high school activities associations, such as its oversight history and authority. John Hunter, why are lawmakers looking at these issues this summer?
Well, I was frankly very surprised that these were two that they chose, because I think they will, the first one especially, the function, spending, and financing of county government, I think will be, you know, it's not something that's been very visible in this last session, but this could be a huge thing, including, you know, merger of counties, or, you know, reducing the number of counties, consolidating issues. This opens up the can for all sorts of things. I'm really kind of surprised. It's a big deal. You know, you propose summer studies to a degree to say, let's look at this kind of calmly outside the ticking clock of the legislature. On the other hand, now that this thing has been opened, there could be all sorts of things going on with county governments and financing and so forth. the school district, or excuse me, the Activities Association thing, I think, is something that's kind of left over, that they're still a little bit upset about how the relationship between state government and this organization. So I think they're going to look at that again, and I'm not sure that results in a lot.
Kevin, are there any issues that you would have thought the legislators would have looked at this summer?
Well, you know, when you look at the array of issues, from the whole Medicaid expansion thing to teacher pay to those kinds of things that never really get settled, you could kind of continue those or expand on those almost every year. I was a little surprised by this, too, although the whole local funding management issue is something that always kind of runs on the back burner in the legislature. It is there, but it never gets looked at very hard. And of course, as John said, the South Dakota High School Activities Association, and especially lately with the gender identification issue and with some of the financial management issues that have been raised with audits, that'll probably get pretty interesting.
And John Hunter, for you, other issues that you would have thought the lawmakers would have undertaken as a study this summer?
Well, I think, you know, schools, I think, are almost a perpetual, but it's such a big, you know, K-12 public schools, it's such a big issue that it's hard to say let's do a summer study on as comprehensive as people would like. But I think there will be segments of this, and again, they talk about funding and size and, you know, the remoteness of some school districts and so on. So I think education you could almost put it on a docket as an annual summer study of some sort.
U.S. Senator John Thune has introduced a bill that would require collaboration between federal and local officials before a prescribed burn on federal lands when fire danger is high. This comes after a prescribed burn recently grew out of control and scorched about 10 square miles at Wind Cave National Park. And Kevin, is this a good idea, something that we need?
Well, I think this is certainly an important issue. You know, when you get a prescribed burn that starts out at 1,000 acres and ends up burning 6,500, it never got off the park, so that's a good thing. And I think you got to give them credit for the fact that they had it designed so that they played the prevailing winds so that when it did get away, it didn't go anywhere. Still, it was an expensive fire to fight, and that's tax dollars. And there was smoke issues, some health issues that people raised, and cattle issues nearby. I think that I'd be a little surprised if this burn wasn't discussed a little bit with state fire officials prior to, and I know it was discussed with Custer State Park officials because they had a prescribed burn, I think, that same day that they handled it didn't turn out to be a problem like this. So I know what John Thune's doing, and I think there's a lot of anger after that, and I'm sure he heard from people who were angry, and so he would have responded like this.
Are prescribed burns relatively or consistently controversial here? I'm curious as to what the attitude is among landowners and people that live in the hills.
I think they tend to be controversial, and they're especially controversial in areas where the federal government in particular isn't entirely popular. So if the federal government messes up, and I guess you could look at this as a mess-up to a certain degree, that aggravates people that just think the federal government messes up all the time.
Thune said that the Wind Cave fire and another grassland fire from 2 years ago show a complete disregard for imminent fire danger on the part of the federal government. Is that a fair statement?
I guess I think that's a little unfair. I understand what he means, but they have a prescribed burn policy, and they follow that pretty closely, and it's supposed to take into effect conditions. I think there needs to be a discussion about that prescribed burn policy, which is what he's asking about, because it was so dry out there. And a lot of people are saying, seriously, at that level, maybe we could have held off on that burn for a while. Part of the reason they were having the burn, and it has to be at the right time of the year with the right winds, was to reduce the fuel load down in that part of the park and try and prevent a wildfire that they couldn't control that might have gone on to nearby land and nearby residences and homes.
Well, Kevin, as long as we're here in Rapid City and there's an election coming up, the school board opt-out, which is for the June 2nd ballot, I believe. Mm-hmm. There's the mayor's race, which you say has been relatively quiet, although some yard signs are going up. What's happening with the elections here? Are these both on June 2nd?
Yeah, and I think the opt-out is going to get interesting as they get all over the state, and the opponents referred that. The school board could have put it on the ballot but didn't, and the opponents did. And so now we're going to have a discussion, you know, a district-wide discussion on that, and And I think there's a lot of issues here because Rapid City, you know, second largest district in the state, but their pay for teachers is below that significantly. So there's a pay issue here that's even greater than most school districts in the state face in terms of being competitive with other districts. This district loses teachers to other South Dakota districts, smaller ones sometimes for pay. So I think that's going to be a big issue, and this is also a low-tax town. We don't like taxes very well here, so that's going to get the conservatives out, and we'll have a really fiery debate. I'm a little surprised that we haven't had some of that so far in the mayor's race. Steve Allender, the former police chief, a popular chief in a department that I think still is pretty popular among citizens here, you know, at a time when police departments are controversial, and that one's had some issues lately. But I think it still has a general support among the community overall, not necessarily the Native American community for reasons that we've probably talked about before. And I keep thinking that's got to break pretty soon. So I'd watch for that because I think it has to get a little testier than it has so far.
Because there's just about a month left to go here.
Yeah, it's not too much time left. And there are going to be a couple of forums where they'll actually, you know, face each other coming up. And I guess I would expect to see more than big, nice-looking signs in the next few weeks.
Well, speaking of mayoral elections, Platt's next mayor will be determined by luck of the draw tomorrow. Steve Christensen and incumbent Mayor Rick Gusted both received 171 votes in the election 2 weeks ago. They will choose between a high card draw and a high roll with dice to determine the election's winner for the two-year term. And John Hunter, Madison went through something similar to this not too long ago.
Yes, it's kind of a weird circumstance. And in Madison's case, it was for a city commissioner position. It was not the mayor, but a member of the commission. And so they had two people tie. They recounted, and it was still a tie, and it was all. So they got together and, you know, kind of a prescribed time, and it just felt weird getting in the commission room with a deck of cards and saying, oh, well, who's going to be the next commissioner for 3 years? And so in Madison's case, they decided to do a kind of a two-step deal. They cut a deck of cards to see who would cut the deck in the real try. So I don't know exactly why they did two steps. State law requires the or establishes the city finance officer as the person who chooses the game of chance or whatever. And so, in this case we had a man and a woman. The man won the card draw in the second try, and the woman lost, and he served for 6 years or whatever, and she never served again. It was a weird circumstance.
People generally accept this then, John?
Yeah, I think so. And part of it, there was a little bit of a delay, I think, between the election, you know, kind of election night, that we said, look, the early returns are this, and the Daily Leader reported exactly what happens in case of a tie. So then there's a couple of weeks that goes by before this. So, I think people understood it, and they didn't want to revote, and it is a good tactic, actually, for those who are pushing voter participation. They say, look, you don't think one vote counts? Here it did. You know, by you not voting, you know, any one person could have turned that election. And so it might be good to hold up an example for future elections to try to increase turnout.
Kevin Hunter, what do you think about cutting cards or rolling dice to choose officers?
Well, I would prefer a competitive crapshoot, but, you know, I guess that's what's in state law. We'll go with what's in law.
Well, that could be a summer study to maybe change that.
I'd definitely like to see a summer study, yeah.
All right.
Or
well,
burn some grassland and see how many acres can go.
Well, I've suggested Thune and the local people have a face-off with drip torches high noon at the Buffalo Corrals.
Well, that'll do it for the Dakota Political Junkies this week, and maybe they'll take up some of these ideas. John, thanks for joining the program today.
Thanks, Carl.
And Kevin, thanks for stopping by the studios here at the Dome.
Right. Good to see you, Carl.